Turn with me into the book of Matthew in the 12th chapter. While you're getting there, I'll just say some of you I've never met before. It's a pleasure to see you here. Hope you come back sometime. It's always wonderful to fellowship with our brothers and sisters, meet new people, and learn of our testimonies and share with one another and encourage each other. That's what it's all about. All right, out of the 12th chapter of Matthew, we'll read from verse 38 through 45. Then some of the Pharisees and teachers of the law said to him, "Teacher, we want to see a miraculous sign from you." He answered, "A wicked and adulterous generation asks for a miraculous sign, but none will be given it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of a huge fish, so the Son of Man will be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh will stand up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and now one greater than Jonah is here. The queen of the south will rise at the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for she came from the ends of the earth to listen to Solomon's wisdom, and now one greater than Solomon is here. When an evil spirit comes out of a man, it goes through arid places seeking rest and does not find it. Then it says, 'I will return to the house I left.' When it arrives, it finds the house empty," say that with me, "swept clean and put in order. Then it goes and takes with it seven other spirits more wicked than itself, and they go and live there. And the final condition of that man is worse than the first. That is how it will be with this wicked generation." Jesus was standing around the midst of some of his greatest and frankly, most intelligent critics, as they were pressing on him to give him signs, answers. They were looking for anything they could bring to cause him to stumble. And this was an opportunity in the midst of criticism for Jesus to bring out not only the condition of those standing around him, but the condition of things that were to come. Have you ever stood in the face of wickedness? Have you ever felt someone come against you? Have you ever felt the pain of hurt that you didn't deserve? Have you ever met someone that though you tried your best to change them, there was nothing that you could do? Have you ever been in the face of something that you looked at yourself and said, "I cannot do this by myself"? I know that if we all examine things in our life, you would find things within you that you could say, "Yes, I've been in the face of adversity. I've been in the place of challenges, and I've faced great trials and tribulations in my life." How many of you would agree with that tonight? We've all been through something difficult. We've all been through pressing times, but praise God, tonight you're still here. I'm going to praise God for you on that one. Praise God, you're still standing. Praise God, you're still breathing. Praise God for another opportunity to be in His presence. You're still here. I'm looking at you. Living proof that you're still here. A reason that God would have you to continue in your life. So we've been in the face of these things. And what I want to open up with tonight and preach on just for a little while, and we'll finish the rest sometime down the road. And I want you to say this with me tonight. You cannot escape the calling God has on your life. When we want results, we want things to be different, we want things to change, we want circumstances turned around, we want people to be healed, we want people to be delivered, we want all the changes to go on in our life, we ask and we ask and we beg and we travail in prayer, but the one thing God is looking for to shine the greatest is the one thing at times that we're pushing away out of our life. We go to the man by the name of Jonah. He had received a word. I feel like preaching. I don't know why. He received a word from the Lord to go and do a hard thing. It wasn't an easy thing. It wasn't they were going to pay him $10,000 to show up and preach at that church. He received a word to go and do, knowing good and well that it was going to be hard. And when he needed things different in his life, he looked at the calling, he looked at the cost and said to himself, "It is too great for me to do." So he goes and gets on a boat to go towards Tarshish, is, if you look at the map, it's the complete opposite direction of where the Lord was taking him on the map. How many of you have been to that place where you're in the face of something difficult, and when God is calling for you to do what you need to do, the only thing that you try to do is go the other way? Friend, I'm here to tell you, the kind of people that get results are the kind of people that will do what God has called them to do. The kind of people that have blessings that are going with them and going in front of them instead of them trying to fight for it, trying to hurt people to get to it, are the kind of people that will yield to what God would have them to do. We read that the gifts and callings of God are without what? Repentance. Without the ability to turn. So we find this to be identified in Jonah. So he gets on a boat and he's on his way, what he thinks is away from God. But how many of you know God is omnipresent? No matter where you go, he's there. No matter how far you try to run, he's there. And that's the great thing. I know that there's hope for people that are addicted. It doesn't matter how much of a substance that they put on them. You can't go far enough, oh, that God couldn't reach you. You couldn't get high enough that God couldn't come and find you. You couldn't get drunk enough for God not to be able to save you. Church, there is still hope for this present day. But honey, it's got to take the obedience of the children of God. It's got to take you and me taking a stand for what we want for God to do, and that's being obedient to who we are. Well, brother, it's not easy. I'll get off key. I'll get out of rhythm. I'll get too excited, and my shirt will come untucked, and Lord in heaven, we know we don't want nothing to be showing. My bobby pins will come out, and that hair that I straighten is going to turn another way, and they're going to dump a whole thing of oil on me, and I'm going to look like a fool, or I'm going to prophesy something, and somebody will smite me and turn the other way. We have every reason in the world that we can find to deny the calling that God has given us, but the one thing God's going to get out of you, whether you're willing to do it or whether you're in the belly of the whale, is to do what you were called to do. Amen. Nobody can do it for you. And I'm glad about that, because if I had to wait on you sometimes to get in the presence of God, honey, I'd fall asleep waiting on the Lord to begin to move. He said he was nigh to those that will draw nigh to him. And tonight I'm getting as close as I can get, because there's a wickedness in front of us today. And when we get it prayed off of somebody else, the enemy does not rest, and he'll go seven times stronger to the next person. You get one addict delivered. There's still addicts that are needing delivered. There's people that are drunk out there right now that are twice as hard to reach out to as you were. So the only thing that brings the freedom of decision is the obedience unto the truth. Jonah had to go and tell them the truth. Without the truth, they could not have made themselves to be free. The one thing your calling does is not make you look like a fool. The one thing your calling does is not make you embarrassed. But the one thing your calling brings out is the truth of God's word within you. That when people bear witness to your obedience, they'll know that God is real. When you begin to obey him, there's no demon in hell that could come against somebody that's sincere and obedient to the Lord. But what we have is a world of Nineveh and boats packed full of people going the other way. Yeah, they might be out the bar. They might be in the pew too. We have all kinds of people that are denying the one thing that God has given. God didn't call me to whisper when I praise him. He didn't call me to stand still when I felt his anointing. He has called me to do it just the way that it comes out of me. Because when you get a river flowing, it takes every obstacle and everything that would try to block its path, and it moves it out of the way. When the devil tries to go into a house where the rivers of living water are flowing, he sees that the house is swept clean. How many of you have ever been saved by Jesus Christ? How many of you ever have been touched by the
blood of the Lamb, then everything else that comes in your house is things that don't need to be in there. For God would have your house, oh, to be in order. He would have it to be swept away. And the only way that you can clean up your house is to obey the calling of God. Sometimes the calling puts us on the altar, saying that we're sorry for the things that we've done. Sometimes the calling has us be the first one to take a stand when everybody else isn't praising the Lord. And that old feeble hand gets up in the air and says, thank you, Jesus. Sometimes a calling will have you rip out a shout that you never thought you had. Let me hear a shout in here right now. Come on, that'd be pretty good if you were at the football game. But the Lord wants a good shout up in here. Come on. Now we're talking. Glory to God. I feel His presence. I'm telling you right now, I'm not here to entertain anybody. I'm not here to go through church. I see the wickedness that is coming on 7 times stronger than it did when I was delivered. And the only way we're going to see victory is if we come together by the anointing and Spirit of God, that the Holy Ghost can have its free and perfect will. That means it's going to break up every tradition. It's going to tear down every doctrine. It's going to get all the false doctrines that are preached in this generation that let people compromise through the enemy or to be destroyed. When you get right down to the truth, nobody wants to hear it.
Now we're warmed up. Jonah chapter 1. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and cry against it, for the wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. If I don't pray, somehow I'll make it. If I don't obey the Lord, surely He'll understand. But God, this is too hard for me. Don't put this on me as a burden to bear. Our thoughts is where Satan is working in. The way that you discourage yourself, it's the same way Jonah got on that boat that day. And this was the sign of a man that was given a word to go and deliver a people that proved that man could not save them. It had to be God through man. And when Jonah had fulfilled his role, I'm just going to bring out a little bit of what's coming. There was a man that was sent by God to the Jews and Gentiles to go and speak a truth to a people that had mastered the law. They had mastered religion. They'd mastered tradition. You might not think that you could go to a church with Pharisees in it, but friends, it's out there. There are people that have perfected tradition. There are people that have perfected religion. They know just how much that they need to do to feel before they quench it down and say, let's go on to the next part. They say, we need this to be done. We need this to happen. We need to buy this to get this to go the way it needs to go. And are totally forsaking the true calling of God that's within them. Having church services that go on and on without the stirring of the Holy Ghost. Not a tongue to be spoke sometimes in some places. Not a praise to be given in some places. Not a prayer of faith to be given. Not the anointing of oil to be given. Not the calling of the elders. But a little bit of handshaking. A little bit of I'm glad I'm saved. And they go to the house and think we're going to beat the enemy that way. Honey, I know that you're glad that you're saved. And I'm glad that I'm saved, but God didn't leave us here just to exist. He didn't leave us here just to be complacent. He didn't leave you here just to say, I can't do it. But He brought us here by the anointing of God to say, I can do all things through Christ, which is my strength. So as much as he tried to escape, he cannot. Then the tempest began to roar. You might not be here next service. You may go through something between now and the next time you ever get to be here
that causes you to want to give up on everything you've known. And I feel like there's somebody in here like that right now. There are turmoils that are coming that without God, you surely will not survive. The Lord would not have you to perish, but He would have you to have life and it more abundantly. And even though Jonah had failed, the tempest was not to destroy him. Glory to God. You might be looking at your trial and saying, this thing's going to get the best of me before I ever see anything different. But the tempest isn't here to bring you persecution. The tempest comes to remind you of who God is and how much that He loves you. Hallelujah. I would not know who God was if I had never known bondage to drugs. I wouldn't have known who God was if I didn't walk depressed. I didn't know who God was until somebody loved me that I didn't deserve to receive their love. So they're throwing everything out on the boat. They don't know what's going on. And I hope you're starting to connect some of these. They find Jonah down in the boat. Are you connecting this with Christ? Did they not find him in a boat too? There are several similarities that we'll go through and explain. But this is one of the first. The first one was that they received a call to go and speak the truth to those that were lost. Jonah's was of a little smaller scale than Christ's role. His role was for the whole world. So they find him and say, why aren't you worried? Is that they said that to Jesus too. Carest not that we perish? But Jonah within himself knew that he was running. And a lot of people almost try to live in denial and pretend that they're okay. But you cannot escape your pain. You can't run fast enough to stay ahead of depression. You can't write enough positive things on the internet to keep you standing. There's going to come times when you know that you're not doing the things that God has given you to succeed. You won't need the preacher to tell you that it's bad. You won't need the prophet to tell you to go another direction. Because if you really looked inside of who you are, chances are you'll find the things that need to be different. That's what conviction is. Jonah had that conviction within him, knowing that he was the one that was holding that whole thing back, and told him, it's me. I'm the source of the problem. And they thought, surely there's no way this could be him. So they start throwing off their gear. Now that's pretty reckless if you're on a boat on a far journey to throw out the only things you can eat, lay on, and drink. So they finally get to the place where they did all they know to do. And Jonah finally realizes, if I don't do something, everyone around me, how many of you is with me right now? If I don't do something, glory to God, I feel it, Faye. I feel it right now. If I don't do something, then everyone around me will perish. You might be the only family member that has taken a stand for your loved ones. You might be the spouse in your marriage that is the one that believes. You might be the church member that everybody's looking to take a stand. And glory to God, it comes to a point where you've got to realize that you've got to get up and do something, because everyone around you without the truth will surely perish into destruction. If you don't want people to die lost, talk to them about being saved. If you don't want people to be sick, talk to them about God the healer. If you don't want people to be poor, open up your pockets and be benevolent. If you don't want people to starve, honey, what do you got to do? You got to feed them. If you've got people that need help, God would have you to open up and have compassion as Christ did. Jonah's compassion was that he was willing to give his life for the boat. There was another man that without him we would not be here, that was also willing to give his life for all of us, not only for this flesh that it could be healed, but for salvation and the forgiveness of all our sin, that everything that you would hold us from our calling could be cast away into the sea of forgiveness, the rivers of living water, if you will. When I'm in the Spirit of God, Derek, I don't look back. When I'm under the anointing of God, I don't look at myself as being sick.